Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 177 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively right here on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network. Also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch at CRMW.net. That's CRMW.net, Coal River Mountain Watch. Stop by and see what mountaintop removal is in fact doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your busy day, today being Tuesday, September 2nd, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Time on a Tuesday, September 2nd, you're listening to a live show and you're welcome to phone in and participate. Tonight is a Just Us edition of Strictly Confidential. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. And it's over there you'll find links to all of the guests, as well as the links for the audio archives from past shows. Those audio archives are hosted by Mr. Ben Birch over at the White Rose Society. You'll find links at strictlyconfidentialradio.com for our chat room. And it is a fabulous chat room and a wonderful place to visit. We would love to have you stop by the chat room. I'm there. And it's one of the ways you can communicate with the show is by stopping in the chat room. You just go to strictlyconfidentialradio.com, click on the chat room link. You'll choose yourself a chat name, and you're in business. It's absolutely free and fabulous. There are links there at Strictly Confidential's main page, the Strictly Confidential radio page for the MySpace site, and links there also to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. And you'll also find there at a link to the Head On Radio Network main site, and over at the Head On Radio Network main site, which is headonradionetwork.com, you can find links to all of the other hosts for the Head On Radio Network and find out all about the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network. You'll find there, too, links to our PayPal button, which makes it easier for you to support the Head On Radio Network. We appreciate your support, and it keeps the packets passing and the hard drive spinning and the CPU fans cooling and all the other things it takes to create a network, bootstrap network. That's exactly what we are. We bootstrapped out of nowhere several years ago, and how proud I am to be involved with the Head On Radio Network. To participate with the show, you could call toll-free. The number is 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. If you have unlimited long distance or an unlimited long distance calling plan, you could use that. That would be area code 304-658-3333. Again, for unlimited long distance, use 304-658-3333. Both of those telephone numbers ring at the studio in West Virginia. Email will arrive to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during the breaks. It's wonderful to be back. It really is. It almost feels like normal. I've got to tell you, I've been through some changes since the last time we spoke. We had, Faye come through. I'm accustomed to having houses dropped on me when I walk outside, but a limb fell on the car. Now, this happened the last time we had a big storm. A limb fell on the car, but it was a light limb, and it was still attached to a tree, and I was able to put some blankets under it and back out really, really fast, and there's no damage done. But this particular limb that fell was very big and very heavy. It left a nice little dent in the roof and on the hood, and bent the antenna and knocked off the side view mirror on the right-hand side. Fortunately, it didn't break the windshield or anything that makes the car drivable. And what can I tell you? Followed the heels of Gustav last weekend. Now, I must say, my heart goes out to the people in New Orleans, having just been through the Fay thing. The Fay thing is I was without electricity for 48 hours. And, there's no end to the problems that went on. And I'm so grateful that I'm not going through that again. And my heart goes out to the people who are, in fact, going through this. And will, you know, with a million people out of electricity, it will be weeks. And I have to tell you that living out of an ice chest without any lights on is not good. But I have to back off on that, though, a little bit. It's not that there weren't any lights on. We had a generator donated to Strictly Confidential about a year back. I've mentioned it several times, and thank you again to the listener who donated that generator. The generator came in quite handy. It started right up, and it powered a couple of floor fans, and Doggy took one, I took the other. It powered up the computer system, which was sometimes could get to the Internet, sometimes it couldn't. I mean, it was a storm, what can I tell you? So that was really nice, because I have to tell you, hot and humid, oh, how miserable that would have been without at least a fan. So thank you, listener, who donated the bright yellow-colored generator that started right up. What a blessing that was. Let's see, there was something else I needed to tell you. I'm sure it will come to me at some point during the show. It always does. In the meantime, let's start with Minneapolis St. Paul, shall we? Now, I've been insulted before, and I have been outraged before. And being 53, I've been through all sorts of emotional ups and downs regarding what people do and how people handle themselves and being insulted, et cetera, et cetera. But I've got to tell you, what I came across today regarding Minneapolis St. Paul, Minneapolis, of course, being where the Publicans are having their coven meet this week. The coven will indeed be meeting in Minneapolis. There is, in Minneapolis St. Paul, an agency, an ad agency, actually. Let's see. I have a name for it here somewhere. It's the Twin Cities Advertising Agency. Well, they are encouraging, in fact, the ad just comes right out and says, wants the LGBT folks to pretend they're straight while the Republicans are in town so as not to offend them. The commercials close with, "The Republicans are coming. Make an effort." Yes. They encourage you to, regardless of your political leanings, that everyone in the metro area should open their arms, or at least be Minnesota nice to our guests during the Republican National Convention. Unbelievable. The group calls itself a nonpartisan collective of citizens that promote the democratic and free exchange of ideas on important issues. And they're the ones promoting the Make an Effort campaign. Well, I invite this nonpartisan collective, a group of citizens who promote the democratic and free exchange of ideas, to kiss my gay butt. I'll give you an example. I would have captured the audio for you, but there's very little audio. The first commercial that they have produced opens up on a park, a scene in a public park with a beautiful lake behind it, and the sidewalk winding through the park, and the sidewalk winds in front of two park benches that are next to each other. Well, the advertisement or promotion starts out with a shot of two men on one of the park benches who were kissing each other and holding each other, mouth on mouth, the absolute worst affront to a Republican, I'm sure. And on the other park bench next to the guys were two women who were also kissing each other on this bright, sunny day in Minneapolis, as you would see many heterosexual couples do, I'm sure. But the two sets of people, the guys and the women there, noticed the approach of two suits, and they were designed to represent the Republican suit, you know, black and white shirt, tie, the whole bit. And these two men were walking through, you know, Minneapolis-St. Paul Park, and they had just arrived in Minneapolis and were taking in the beautiful city. So the two couples looked at each other. Then the man got up from one park bench and walked over And at the same time, a woman got up from her park bench and walked over. In other words, one man, one woman switched to the other such that there was a man and a woman on each park bench. Now, this is because they see the Republican approaching. And they sat there with their hands folded, with beautiful smiles on their faces. And as the Republicans walk by, you hear the two Republicans say, "What nice kids, or what great kids," something to that effect. And as soon as the Republicans walked by, another suit came by in the other direction. And as soon as both sets of suits had cleared out, the man who had joined the woman and the woman who had joined the man got up, walked back to their respective park benches, such that they were indeed, again, a male-male couple and a female-female couple. If these people think for one damn minute anybody is going into the closet again and pretending to be straight in order to make these middle-aged Republican dinosaur throwbacks, these thugs, these people who have run the country into bankruptcy and killed God knows how many of our sons so that they could profit from it, if they think for one minute that anybody is going to pretend to be straight for those son of a bitches, I don't think so. Unbelievable. The second ad, it was a tattooed guy. He's got lots of tattoos on. Now, this is a guy who's straight. I assume he is. He's not shown with another person. He's in a public restroom. You wonder how much Larry Craig is in this, but the guy, he's a young guy, got lots of tattoos. He's wearing a black T-shirt. The black T-shirt says Bastard Saint, and it's one of the T-shirts, you know, with the sleeves cut off. And, you know, he looks like your average rough-and-tumble kind of, you know, modern-day youth. Not that all youth are rough-and-tumble, but nonetheless, he had a T-shirt that said Bastard Saint. Lots of tattoos. Well, he's in the men's room, putting on a white shirt over his T-shirt, his black T-shirt, and putting on a necktie, and he reaches up and puts some water in his hair to sort of smooth his hair over to the side, whereas before it had been, you know, sort of sticking up at the top, however they wear their hair these days, who knows. And as soon as he completes that, a Republican, supposedly a Republican, they don't actually say this, but they're... Another man walks into the restroom and goes up to the urinal, and from the back you see him beginning to urinate. And the nice-looking Republican sort of kind of kid with the white shirt and the necktie walked out. And, of course, the man who walked in noticed him standing there. So as to let the folks know that they should never wear T-shirts that might offend. Lord, don't help me. Help me not to say the GD word tonight. So that they wouldn't offend a damn Republican. So that they would not offend a Republican. They're urging everyone in the city to act normal, which is, of course, a setting on a dryer, to act normal for the damn Republican convention. Unbelievable. I still am having a hard time understanding how this came about. Check out the campaign, they say. Pass it along. Make an effort. The Republicans are coming. That's the text that appears at the end of these two public service, I guess you could call it, announcements. The Republicans are coming. Make an effort. So you can't look too punky, and you certainly can't look gay in front of a Republican. In other words, let's let Minneapolis-St. Paul be a bright and shining example of what American city should be for the damn knuckle-dragging Republicans. Unbelievable. Of course, it's having it there at all is a strange choice. In Minnesota, it voted as Democratic for a presidential election since 1976. So the city as a whole has mixed feelings about their guests. You see, one of the other things they're having a problem. See, in Denver last week at the international airport, the airport was teeming with people, just bursting out of those people cheering the Democratic, the folks who were coming in to attend the convention. They were cheering them as they came in and giving them welcome the flowers, the lays, the whole bit. However, the St. Paul airport, there's some people passing out balloons. In other words, they have a problem. They have just a little bit of a problem. So I just wanted to share that with you. That was a low blow. That is probably the most offensive thing I have seen in a long, long time, telling us that we should go back in the closet and sit with a female, or a female sit with another male, et cetera, et cetera, so that the Republicans would not be offended. I don't know what century you people are from, but that's just not going to happen. Unbelievable. There are some comments regarding that particular story. One of the comments says, it brings to mind and breaks my heart to remember the dark days of the 50s and the 60s, where you had to look straight. They raided our dances. They raided private parties. I remember one private party in Tallahassee when I was a teenager. I was probably about 17, and there was alcohol being served at the party, and, you know, they're playing Gloria Gaynor, and, you know, it was a party from that era. And the people there were, of course, fabulous. Anyway, the cop cars began pulling up around the house. You see, if you were a gay couple or in Tallahassee back in those days, the neighbors made it their business to report to the police if you had a party. So the police would come charging in under the pretense of looking for underage folks that the gay guys were converting. And they moved a chair in the living room, lifted up a trap door, and told me. And so I climbed down this little set of stairs into some sort of a trap door little thing, and they closed the door and then moved the chair. I heard them move the chair. Talk about, you know. So anyway, I sympathize with this fellow who wrote the letter, that it brings to mind the dark days of the 50s and the 60s where you had to look straight. And when they did come bursting into a party, often there were billy clubs that were intended to cause pain and injury if you happen to be a queer there. This fellow says, oh my God, save us from those dark days, hate fueled by narrow minds, heartless people who seek to hide behind the Bible and to push their dastardly agenda forward. I will not be at their convention. I could only shout out shame, shame, shame on all of you. You know, it's mind-boggling that this ad is even allowed to run, that any television station would run an ad like that. That's another affront. You know, I mean, you know, why not just go ahead and ask the black people in Minneapolis, St. Paul, to paint their faces white? You know, the Republicans aren't too fond of the brown and darker colors, too, so why not, let's just make it an all-white city and make sure the guys sit with the girls sit with the guys, and they fold their hands and smile off the park benches. And the black folks all have their faces painted white, wearing some sort of a white folks wig so that their hair doesn't show. And, of course, there would be no wrap and no baggy jeans and no cars with the loud boom that goes by. You know, all the stereotypicals. However, you know, I would put a big dance floor in my car too, if I, you know. But my stars, isn't it amazing? They wanted everybody in Minneapolis to pretend that we're all happy little families, and we have 2 point whatever kids, and we have an SUV, and we're Minnesota nice. That's the phrase they use. At least be Minnesota nice, and stay in your free speech zone, and stay the hell no visibility. These people do not realize what we have been through. They simply have no clue of what we have been through. And never ceases to amaze me how the... You know, but things are better. These are good times, I guess. We're talking about marriage in California becoming permanently legal. I have some stories about that coming up. You know, there's an uprising to prevent... or at least to take that law back, that constitutional amendment coming up in California. Lots of controversy regarding that, and we'll get to that in just a little while. But we'll take just a very short wet your whistle break, and as we're coming up on that, you're listening to Strictly Confidential, toll free 877, the number 4 head on, and I am your host, Peter Godbold. We'll be back.
The reason why, oh, I can say, I've been let you go, and right away, after what you do, I can't say I, and I probably feel a whole lot better when you're gone.
The Birds from yesteryear. Always liked that song. I'll probably feel a whole lot better when the Republicans are gone. Godspeed the elections. Yeah. God help us if America fails this IQ test again. I don't think any of the listeners to this network could really take that. I know I couldn't. I sometimes think, you know, should the America be so stupid, so dumbed down to the media? We're complicit in all of this. You know, America almost deserves another 4 years of this crap. You know, and with this idiot woman, this baby carrying, moose shooting, home cooked dinner cooking. What the hell is this woman? Anyway, there was a great discussion of that on Bob's show earlier. Just amazing to me. And, you know, it's funny to me. Initially, there was all the talk about that how impulsive John McCain is, and how he just chose her out of spite because Karl Rove jumped into his business about because he wanted Lieberman, and so he shoot from the hip, sort of a John McCain thing, that he chose her. Now everyone's saying, oh, he meant to do that. Not much discussion. Let's take a world tour here. Just a brief one. We'll tell you what's going on in Taiwan. And this is a story that illustrates that fundies are fundies wherever you go. You'll see why. There's a man there, a priest, who claims he could ward off ghosts. Now, these ghosts are very specific ghosts, and they target gay men. So this priest says that he could ward off the ghosts that target gay men. Well, he's being investigated now because several men have come forward to complain about this priest. And it's thought that many other people have fallen victim to this priest and would not admit it publicly. Now, well, the priest is alleged to have drugged and raped some of the men, while others were charged over $11,000 for advice on how to meet gay men. It sounds like a full-service sort of a haggard thing going, doesn't it? He also told his victims that they should masturbate to drive out demons that lived in their penises. You can't make it up. Now, the gay scene in Taiwan has blossomed since their first Pride Parade, which was back in 2003, which only attracted, well, not even quite 1,000 people. But now there are gay cafes or gay bookshops. And so while tolerance has grown, apparently, there are still people who go to a priest to ward off the ghosts that stalk them. Lord have mercy. Then in Senegal, gangs of protesters clashed with riot police in Dakar Friday after a magazine published photographs of the alleged wedding between two men. Now, newspapers and the radio stations there have been filled with stories about the arrest and the release of several men, one of the magazines there has ran photos, and there was a huge demonstration took place in front of one of the main mosques there. And initially it was authorized by the police, but they changed their mind and used tear gas to disperse the crowd. And the public reaction, mainly from the Muslim community, was, of course, rabidly anti-homosexual. Homosexuals are not welcome in our country, and they are not tolerated here. And several men were arrested on suspicion of homosexuality following publication of photographs from marriage ceremony, and the men were later released. If you happen to commit a homosexual act there, the punishment is imprisonment from 1 to 5 years and a huge fine. Now, I bring up this country because a Belgian couple, a 61-year-old Belgian and a 63-year-old Senegalese husband, well, they're now husbands because they were sentenced there to 2 years in jail for homosexual marriage and acts against nature. The couple were married in Belgium last June and then returned to Africa. They got married in Belgium because they're trying to get papers for his partner to live in Belgium. And so that's why I married him, so we could be together and he could immigrate. And of course, gay marriage is legal in Belgium, but homosexual acts are punishable by imprisonment in Senegal. So the arrests and convictions of gay men and social stigma and blackmail are rampant. The blackmail, of course, being we're going to tell if you're gay, because that, of course, puts the fear in the heart of anyone, and you live in a country that oppressive. And the Muslim organizations have warned that enemies of the faith and morality are not welcome. And these also goes back to the story about the riots and when the publications of the same-sex marriage ceremony. One of the reasons is that there was such an outcry and such a hard fist on this was they claimed that the men were threatening to out high-ranking state officials. And, of course, many gay folks and LGBT folks have left the country to escape those death threats. Better act straight. Better act like you're in Minneapolis. Yes, sirree. Better act straight. And then in Gambia, the president of Gambia has absolutely horrified the entire planet, scientists included, by announcing that he has developed a miracle cure for AIDS. Yes, he has. The president of Gambia. Miracle cure. Hundreds of Gambians have lined up to be cured by President Ajami, who treats his patients by rubbing a mysterious herbal paste into their rib cages and then instructing them to swallow a bitter yellow drink, followed by two bananas and a coconut. Drink it all up. And the therapy is administered repeatedly over several weeks. And according to the president of Gambia, AIDS sufferers will be cured within 3 to 30 days. It's hard to believe this sort of ignorance is still going on. But, you know, look at Minneapolis. The president announced his alleged cure in January to a group of perplexed foreign diplomats at a meeting there. He says, whatever you do, there will be skeptics, but I can tell you my method is foolproof. He says, my method is not an argument. Mine is a proof. I declare I can cure AIDS, and I will. Now, of course, the government-owned radio and television stations are publicizing the treatment because the president said, you must publicize the treatment. My God, how the money rolls in. And also it has the backing of the Gambian Health Ministry, which, is, of course, has to do what the president says. Now, the president of Gambia has refused to disclose the ingredients in the herbal remedy, saying that it uses the ingredients are from, here we go, from seven plants. Three of these plants are not native to Gambia. The website claims that patients have experienced a marked improvement in their health as a result of the treatment, and the website laughs at people who are critical of it. This is in a continent where HIV and AIDS is so prevalent that such cases of a miracle cure is very alarming, because if anything, treatment needs to be given to these people. For real, not a president who makes you drink a bitter yellow drink followed by two bananas. But, hey, you know, it's not as stupid as Minneapolis. World Health Organization said they would like to clear it up because there is no known cure. And certainly not from a couple of bananas from an exploiter. Africa's leaders have been very slow to address the problem of AIDS, in fact, glacially slow. So I figure this guy has figured how to turn a buck. Last year, another South African minister of health suggested that a diet of garlic and beetroot and lemon juice is more than effective as anti-HIV medication. The South African government did not provide AIDS medications until it was forced to in 2002. Now the Gambian president is peddling quack remedies for the world's most terrible disease, arguably. And the ads are running on the state-owned television and the government-controlled television, and the Ministry of Health is saying, yes, in fact, it works. And you tell me the Republicans aren't doing the same crap here with whatever lies they want to, you know. You don't have to own the media to be in bed with it. You really don't. So let's see. 933. We'll take another short break, and we'll be back just shortly. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. Or you could use 304-658-3333. This is Peter on Strictly Confidential. We'll be right back.
And he asked me if I wanted to dance. He looked kinda nice, and so I said I might take a chance. When he danced, he held me tight. And when he walked me home that night, all those stars were shining bright. And then he kissed me. I saw him, I couldn't wait to see him again. I wanted to let him know that he was more than a friend.
Break. A psychologist, I tell you, has spent just ages doing a study that proves you can tell a gay from a non-gay just by looking. Well, sort of, and some of the time, or a little bit. And his name is Nicholas Rule, and his study was published last month. You have to laugh. His study was published last month in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology. And this study involved the researcher getting 15 undergrads together and showing them pictures of men and asking them who they thought of the men were gay. Well, the study showed that the students could correctly identify gays 60% of the time. So over half the time. There you have it. Proof. You can know if someone is gay because they look gay, except when they're not, and you can tell if someone isn't gay when they look straight, except when they're not. Brilliant! What are the wonderful comments to this particular piece of idiocy? It says, if you really want to make a scientifically valid study, here's the way to do it. You get 20 or 30 photographs of average non-gender featured looking at young adults, both male and female, and you cut off all their hair so that they're bald, totally bald. And I'll bet nobody will guess gays and lesbians from straights. Good point. Maybe it's the hair care products that make us this way. It's hard to say, but you shave off it, so be careful. You must have straight hair, especially now in Minneapolis. There you have it. He just spent ages doing this study, except when they aren't. There's been a lot of talk lately regarding NBC and how that NBC obviously snubbed a fellow named Mitchum. Now, Mitchum is an openly gay man. He came out just prior to going to the Olympics. Now, there have been several who have announced that they were gay after their careers were over, Luganus and some of the others, who were extraordinary athletes. But this, I think, is the first case of a man who announced that he was openly gay. He's a gold medalist, and it's not that NBC didn't mention that he was a gold medalist. and they didn't mention his sexual orientation. They didn't mention him really at all. It's totally obvious. NBC is going, oh, no. Oh, no, like, we just totally didn't do that. Well, it's unmistakable and inexcusable. It was NBC's exhaustive coverage of the Beijing Olympics, and it gives us some insight into how Jesse Owens must have felt when the Nazis sponsored the Games in 1936. The fellow who wrote this article says, I'm not a sports enthusiast, but I was there in front of the set to watch the Australian 20-year-old compete for a place on a podium behind the unstoppable Chinese men's platform drivers. You have to understand that it was generally thought at that point in time that the Chinese would sweep all of the gold. Then, in nothing less than a miracle, the top Chinese diver turned in a fairly mediocre dive. And the Mitchum fellow performed the very best and high-scoring dive of the entire competition to win the gold. The fellow who wrote this particular little story said he was alone in his living room, but he stood up and cheered the man. So as soon as that happened, you see NBC immediately cut. Oh, they fled the room with their hair on fire and did not return. This fellow says he waited and waited and waited, but the network never showed the medal ceremony. And in the medal ceremony, Matthew kissed his boyfriend. The commentators never mentioned that this young man had come out only a couple of months earlier and raised the money to bring his boyfriend along with him to the games. And they never mentioned that Matthew was gay. They never showed his boyfriend in the stands supporting him and cheering him. In fact, other to acknowledge there had been a men's platform diving game, they never mentioned him again. They dropped him like a hot potato, I tell you. No, here in Minneapolis, we don't want to offend anyone. No, we have to act straight. And by God, if them homosexuals are jumping off them diving boards and taking them gold medals, well, we're just not going to throw it in your face. Ain't going to happen. Unbelievable. Then you have what is obviously a log closet Republican from Dallas, a self-hating... Oh, I could be so catty right now. From Dallas, a comment. He was Australian. NBC didn't cover anyone who wasn't American, which, of course, is not true. He said it's hardly proof that there is some nefarious plot at work. God, we so love being the victims in everything, don't we? Meaning LGBT folks. We love being the victim in everything, don't we? I think the kid who hands out the towels is gay. Why didn't we hear about his special coming out tale? Christ, get a life and quit whining. Sound familiar? Does anybody believe this guy's gay who wrote this? It sounds awful lot like chapter and verse of standard Republican line. Get a life if I don't even think this guy is gay. It's from Dallas. Anything from Dallas is suspect, of course. It's from Dallas. Self-hating. Get a life. Quit whining. Unbelievable. It's only a matter of time before this comes out, before the American Family Association begin putting it on their bulletins, and Jerry Falwell comes back from the dead to tell you. But as Gustav barreled toward the Gulf Coast and barreled toward New Orleans, a group called the New Orleans Southern Decadence Gay Celebration are watching, or were watching, every move of the storm, and they're watching it very carefully. You see, 3 years ago, almost to the very day, the Southern Decadence Festival was canceled when Hurricane Katrina hit the city full force. Of course, was a huge disaster. Now, if you recall, at that point in time, the right-wing fundies were all a Twitter that the reason the hurricane had come was to destroy the Southern Decadence Festival, which was being held in the French Quarter. Of course, the French Quarter was left relatively untouched. It was the Lower Ninth Ward that was most of the damage and most of the horror. But nonetheless, God has sent another storm, named Gustav this time, to stop the homosexuals from the Southern Decadence Festival. Now, I have not been to a Southern Decadence Festival. To me, a Southern Decadence Festival would be to wear a magnolia behind your ear that doesn't match your outfit, but, you know, I don't know what they're doing in New Orleans. I assume there's some sort of street parade, and as being as outrageous as possible. By the way, what is it with a lot of gay guys? I mean, you know, you're gay, so, you know, get over it. Why do you try to throw it in people's face? I mean, you know, at least follow the same social mores as the straight folks. But then again, the straight folks are pretty damn outrageous at the other huge celebration there in Mardi Gras. So, I don't know. I'm all for being decadent verbally. I'm not much for being decadent in a demonstrative way. So in any case, see, happened in just about the very same day 3 years ago this storm arrived, and then the article goes into much detail about the storm itself, and then here's another little paragraph about it. The 2005 Southern Decadence Gay Celebration in New Orleans was officially canceled due to Katrina, and even though it was canceled, sort of a small ragtag group, they say, from the LGBT community staged a little tiny parade through the French Quarter in the midst of the hurricane's destruction. Apparently most sensible people had either left or ended up in the Civic Center. You know, I got to tell you, folks, even the Republicans had the good sense to turn off the partying in the midst of that much destruction. But nonetheless, a little group of the Southern Decadence gay folks there marched through the French Quarter with the electricity out back in Katrina. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be so critical or such a prude, but, you know. Let's see. Oh, here's one thing I do approve of. The theme of the Southern Decadence, the 2008 theme was Decadence Does Disco. Well, you gotta love that. Anyway, the organizers were keeping a watchful eye on Gustav, and they were not planning on canceling any events because they decided that Gustav was not as serious as it pretended to be. And, you know, weren't you guys amazed? I was simply amazed that those levees held up. Water pounding against it for hours and hours and hours. I just can't imagine they held up. It looked pretty bare knuckles, white knuckles, hanging on to hope to me. Didn't look like those barriers holding up wouldn't hold one more inch of water. Not one more inch. There needs to be a lot more done before Category 3 heads in, or even 4. It could happen. Hell, the Gulf, you can practically cook fish in it, much less have them swimming around. Open seawater temperatures of almost 100. There's plenty of hot water out there to feed those hurricanes. Plenty, plenty, plenty of hot water. A Bulgarian woman and her Lebanese partner, not lesbian partner, although she happens to be a lesbian partner, but a Bulgarian woman and her Lebanese partner have been sentenced to a month in jail after being found guilty by a Dubai court of indecent acts. You know, the paradise rising out of the desert. You know, they have the same sort of rules here that they have in Minneapolis. act straight. You better act straight. Not going to have it. It's thought to be the first case of its kind in the United Arab Emirates. And Dubai's Court of Appeals held up the conviction. The 36-year-old Bulgarian and the 30-year-old Lebanese woman will both be deported after they've served their sentences. I seriously doubt they're in the same cell. The newspaper in Dubai reported that the couple was spotted kissing and petting on a public beach. Now, you have to understand, when you're a lesbian or a gay couple, a simple kiss is immediately petting. So I doubt they were doing much petting, but they were on a public beach, and they both pleaded not guilty to the charges. that they had behaved indecently, but United Arab Emirates were not going to have it. You all know that the Emirates is probably the richest of the seven oil-rich Arab countries, and it's actually a very popular destination. The mega city that rises sparkling from the desert is a popular destination for vacations for folks who live in the United Kingdom. Actually, the majority of the 5.6 million residents are foreigners. Being a very wealthy company, nobody lifts a finger. The foreigners do all the work. And in any case, foreigners are not. Homosexual relations are a crime, and punishments range from jail to deportation to the death penalty. I guess it was because it was two women, and we all know in societies like this, women don't matter much, is how they got off with the month in jail and being deported. It's hard to say. In July, 40 men this past July were arrested in a crackdown on transvestites. And the Dubai police say that any man or woman who dresses up and behaves like the opposite gender in public will be questioned and legal action will be taken against him or her. The 40 transvestites, count them, 40 visions of transvestites danced in my head. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, and the transvestites were still okay. I'm sorry, I wander off of these. In any case, all of those arrested were visitors, mind you, not residents. And this, is, of course, backs up the policy of there are no LGBT folks there. It's a strictly Western disease. This is against the United Arab Emirates traditions and social values. The new head of the Emirates, whoever that is, has announced that transvestites caught in public would be arrested as part of the new campaign. He said, transvestites have been seen lately in public places, oh the horror, including shopping malls. Our social values are precious. Let's protect them, he says. I came across an interesting paragraph in a news article a couple of days ago. That really put the perspective for me. I want to share it with you. This paragraph, as the writer intended, would be used as to ask questions of a few conservatives. If you ever find a conservative who's willing to speak with you without acting ugly or screaming or shooting you, you might ask them these questions. Currently, in one of the chambers of the federal legislature is a Medal of Honor recipient. Can you name the individual? And can you name the state from which this person hails? And can you name the party affiliation? Medal of Honor recipient. Next question, the 110th Congress consists of 435 members who are divided between Republicans and Democrats and Independents. Of the three, which has had the greatest number of military veterans? And if you summed up all combat medals that have been awarded, which of those groups has the greater number? Third, if legislating on behalf of improved equipment for the active military, including the Guard and the Reserves, if you were legislating on their behalf for enhanced health and educational benefits for veterans, which political party has historically, as well as currently, proven genuinely greater with their support of the troops, and which of the parties has steadfastly been more miserly? Well, I thought that was well done. Let them squirm out of that. Oh, no, but we got a fine, sturdy woman. Yeah, we got a fine, sturdy Republican woman. Kills moose by squeezing them between her legs. If she misses them out of the plane, she'll jump right down on one of them moosies and squeeze them between her legs, kill that son of a bitch, and drag it back home. Cook it up. Oh, my God. The new Harriet Myers. It's the new Harriet Myers. It's hard to know what to do next, I suppose. What we'll do is go to the tangled up top of the hour break. You'll see why I called it tangled up in a moment. So it's top of the hour on Strictly Confidential, and the toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. And in limited long distance, you could use 304-658-3333. Email arrives to Peter at Head-On Radio Network, and I do try to check the email during the break, so which we're just about to have one. We'll be right back. My name is Peter. This is Strictly Confidential.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd change it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress, papa's bank book wasn't big enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues getting through, tangled up in blue. She was married when we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but it used a little too much force. We drove that car as far as we could, abandoned it out west. Split up on the docks at night, but the green it was best. And she turned around to look at me as I was walking away. I heard her say over my shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue. Blue. I had a job in the Great North Woods, working as a cook for a spell. But I never did like it all that much, and one day the axe just fell. So I drifted down to New Orleans, where I lucky was to be employed, working for a while on a fishing boat right outside of Delacroix. But all the while I was alone, the path was close behind. I've seen a lot of women, but she never escaped my mind. And I just grew tangled up in blue. She was working in a topless place when I stopped in for a beer. I just kept looking at the side of her face in the spotlight so clear. Later on, when the crowd thinned out, I was just about to do the same. She was standing there in back of my chair. I said, Jimmy, don't I know your name? I murdered something underneath my breath. She studied the lines on my face. I must admit, felt a little uneasy when she bent down to tie the legs of my shoes. Trying to love in blue. Hey, I thought you'd never say hello, she said. You look like a silent sight. Then she opened up a book of poems and handed it to me, written by an Italian poet from the 13th century. And every one of them words rang true and glowed like burning coal, pouring off of every page like it was written in my soul. But me to you, music in the cafes at night and revolution in the air. Then he started into dealing with slaves and something inside of him died. She had to sell everything she owned and froze up inside. And when it finally the bottom fell out, I became withdrawn. The only thing I knew how to do was to keep on keeping on like a
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
Yes, indeed, I am back. Back for hour two of Strictly Confidential from the Head On Radio Network and no place else, from the little dirt road in North Florida in the middle of nowhere, and from no place else comes Strictly Confidential. I am your host, Peter Godbold, and you're listening to LGBT Conversation Radio. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. If you'd like to use unlimited long distance, you could use 304-658-3333. While I'm thinking about it, I'll take a moment to tell you that... Yes, interesting guest coming up Thursday. His name is Barry Gold. And he is a singer-songwriter who comes to us by way of Mr. Glenn Rivera, who is our executive director of talent bookings. We had to reschedule Barry, and Barry graciously allowed us to do that. Barry was originally scheduled to run during the week of the storm, I believe it was. And in any case, he has some YouTubes, and it's all there at the Strictly Confidential website if you'd like to check out Barry Gold. He'll be with us on Thursday. I need to point out that tomorrow evening, Strictly Confidential will be a replay. That is because of a computer job I've accepted to get some computers straight. I normally don't accept. It's for a residence. It's for family. I normally don't do anything but the business customers I have. But these people are friends of one of the people who owns the company that, you know, how that goes, that I do work for. And so there was really no convenient way to get out of it. And so they're not listeners to the program, so I'm sure they're not listening horrified. So in any case, they can't. I tried to get them mornings and all that sort of thing. The only time they can do it is like after 5:30 on a weekday. So we chose tomorrow. I don't exactly know how long it'll take, but these things always take forever. Something about they switched over from DSL to cable as their internet service provider, and they're totally lost. So anyway, that's for tomorrow. And Thursday we have the guests. Well, we need to let you know that John and Bob and I will be coming up at the top of the next hour at 11 p.m. Eastern with a new horn section. And let you know also that our DJ at the Paradise Dance Hall this evening is none other than Mr. Bobby Vittoretti. And I'm looking forward to that. Any of you guys heard of David Benkoff? He is a gay conservative, meaning he is an oxymoron. He's closed down his blog. The blog, horrifyingly enough, is called Gays Defend Marriage. On this blog, he supports marriage as a union between one man and one woman. You know, these people are just down south, I just have to say honest. These people just eat up with it. They are plum eat up with it. They got a big dose of stupid from their background. This guy had a Mormon background, so you can imagine what a screwed up landscape he looks at when he wakes up in the morning. He said in a statement to LGBT advocacy group, the group's called Truth Wins Out, that he was discontinuing his blog. And this fellow is formerly known as David Bianco. He says, I no longer feel comfortable being allied with the people running the Proposition 8 campaign. In other words, his site was a huge booster of Proposition 8 in California to roll back the rights of LGBT citizens of California, the equal rights, I should add that word. He no longer feels comfortable being allied with them. In his last blog entry, and by the way, don't bother go trying to find the blog. I could give you a link, but I won't bother because it just brings up a white page. The site is still up and running. It is a valid site, but he has simply stripped the page of all content, and it just pulls up a white piece of paper if you go to his blog. And his last entry posted Sunday. Benkoff wrote, "I recently learned quite a bit of disturbing information that makes it impossible for me to continue supporting a movement I no longer respect." Well, imagine that. This movement, of course, being the hysterical right-wing fundamentalist brouhaha going on in California to defeat and to roll back equal rights. Now, he did not identify what he had learned about Proposition 8 or its backers, but, you know, people in this network, we know the general cesspool of the folks on that side of the fence, so God knows what he came across. According to Wayne Benson, now Wayne Benson is a good guy. He's the founding executive director of Truth Wins Out. He said of Benkoff, he must have encountered one of the unsavory elements. I love that. Restraint. The unsavory elements within the California Proposition 8 campaign that so repelled him that he decided to halt his anti-gay campaign. Benson also refers to all of Benkoff's campaigns as being horribly anti-gay diatribes, and his rants usually include negative faith-based claims about gay sex and LGBT lifestyles. Now, David was born, David Bianco, back in 1970, which makes him just a little bitty gay guy. Yeah, he's here, I'll tell you about it. He was an American journalist. He was raised in St. Louis. He went to college at Stanford University, et cetera, et cetera. He came out when his freshman year of college, and he came out as being gay, and he served also as the international president of the United Synagogue Youth. He founded several gay press publications. There was one that cartoons, crossword puzzles, horoscopes. This was syndicated to about 100 LGBT newspapers around the world. He sold his interest in this Q syndicate a few years after he ran it for a few years, and he ended up selling the whole company. He published a book called Modern Jewish History for Everyone and The Gay Essentials, Facts for Your Queer Brain. And he also wrote a column in Over the Rainbow for a Q syndicate. But, in 2003, he suddenly announced that he was going to stop, I tell you, having sex with men. That's probably more than we needed to know. He's going to stop having sex with men for religious reasons. Lord have mercy. He was shedding his label of being gay and preferred not to label his sexuality. We have all heard that before. He's always been a devout Jew, and he says that one reason he changed was because gay sex is just inconsistent with traditional religious life. Gay sex. In any case, that's a long road I could go down, but I'll spare you. To reflect his change in sexual identity, he says he's doing it to honor his grandfather. He changed his name from Bianco to Benkoff, and David says that he is bisexual, but he abstains with having sex with men, which is how he came to run the blog, which was a huge supporter of Proposition 8. But now, you know, this guy can turn on a dime, you know what I mean? He stopped being gay suddenly in 2003, and all of a sudden in 2008, he stops his website because, oh, confusion. By name, Republican Confusion. Let's see where we were. He became a strong opponent to same-sex marriage, and he says that same-sex marriage, the reasoning is flawed, and it assaults the millions of Americans whose traditional faith calls on us to defend marriage, which is how he got his site, Gays Defend Marriage. You know, there is no end to the loops and turns and dark, scary places of the Republican mind. So, I recently learned of something disturbing made me impossible for me to continue supporting the movement. Yeah, whatever, dude. Speaking of the guy in Texas who said we should stop feeling sorry for ourselves, and this idiot who writes Gays Defend Marriage, another gay Republican sighting. Yes, the gay Republicans have finally, hold your breath, I know you've been waiting, this is huge. The log closet Republicans have, oh my God, they've like totally endorsed John McCain. They waited a damn long time to do it. Lord have mercy. Remember 4 years ago they refused to back George Bush for re-election. They just decided not to endorse anybody. But they're taking a risk. And they've made a list. They're checking it twice, and they are endorsing John McCain. Now, this endorsement could boost McCain's reputation as a maverick, which we know he is not. 90% of the time, remember. But it's not going to go down well with the party's conservative Christian base. Well, I got news for you. The conservative Christian base will never hear of this unless they listen to it on progressive radio or read it on the progressive blog. The mainstream media will not touch it. The log closets say that Senator McCain is no George Bush when it comes to gay issues. We are much more optimistic. Honey, they've been drinking the Kool-Aid. And they're sucking the Kool-Aid down. Lord have mercy. We are much more optimistic and enthusiastic about Senator McCain, said Patrick Salmon. I would love to see that disgusting little guy. I just would like to see, look into his eyes and see what twisted energy comes out of those things. He told Reuters News that we're much more optimistic. He says the 20,000-member group, I wonder if that's sort of like the fundamentalists who say they have millions and millions of members, and it all turns out that they're counting everyone who was ever a member of the church, even if they're dead and even if they got fed up and left years ago. You can never get your name off the rolls, and so sure, yeah, there are millions and millions. I wonder where he gets the 20,000. That's a nice round number. Oh, my. The 20,000-member group backed Bush in 2000, but they did not endorse him in 2004. And, of course, they acknowledged that the Republicans used it as a wedge to galvanize the evangelical voters, but Patrick Salmon didn't mind. It was good for the Republican Party. What's good for the Republican Party is good for his, I don't know, wallet? What appeals to them? It's hard to know. Lord have mercy. He's gay folks' Uncle Tom, isn't he? Says the group appreciates the log closets, rather. The group appreciates McCain's opposition to a failed attempt to enact a federal ban on marriage, a position that angered many conservative evangelical leaders. And Patrick says, Senator McCain stood with us, and now we stand with him. Senator McCain showed courage by bucking his own party's leadership and twice voting against the federal marriage amendment between a man and a woman. Now, regarding McCain's choice of the Alaska governor, Miss I Can Crush a Moose Between My Brawny Legs, Sarah Palin, or is it Plain? It must be Palin. They were pronouncing it earlier on Bob's show, but I didn't pay much attention. Let's just call her Harriet Myers. Worked this as well. The group is going to take a wait-and-see approach regarding the Alaska governor. I don't think, you know, what is it with these people who have to wait and see? Just look at her record, for crying out loud. And you think you have to wait to find out? Let's just take a wait-and-see approach. Let's stick our head in the sand, and we'll just ignore all the stink.
we're going to have to wait and see about the governor, about her views on gay issues. We don't have any issues. It's the other folks that have the issues. Anyway, the group, the Log Closet Republicans, their group's director of programs and policies, said there are encouraging signs in the Republican administration campaign. We don't know much about her. In her public statement, she said that she has gay friends. Oh, Lord. Yeah, that just means a lot, don't it? I imagine the old Southern racist, the old white men would sit in front of the general store and you say, I have some colored friends. Meaning the people that they paid a pittance to do the farm work. In her statement, she said that she has some gay friends. Idiot. She's a conservative Christian, and she's gotten the Republican right wing all wet because of her strong opposition to abortion rights. May I point out that abortion rights have been around for a long, long time. The Republicans have been in power for 8 years. I think Bob pointed this out. And they haven't done a damn thing to overturn them. It's just too good. It's just too good of an issue. So the point being, you might as well acknowledge that fact and keep women out of the back alleys and dying from coat hangers. Women are going to have abortions regardless. No one is pro-abortion, by the way. But they won't even fund sex ed. They won't even... Anyway, the group says they've sent 24 openly gay delegates to the convention in Minnesota. Well, imagine that. I bet you they're sitting on that park bench just looking as normal as the day is long for the Republicans. I bet you they're scared. I bet you they're scared. They're sitting at that convention. They're scared because if any of them fundies found out they was openly gay, my Lord, the brimstone would come down upon them. They say that being openly gay is not easy in a party with a strong base of evangelical Christians. Well, duh. Members of the Log Closet Republicans say they stick with the party because of core principles, such as, get ready to laugh, fiscal conservatism, which of course doesn't exist, a strong support for national defense, yes, as long as it is for private contractors who our current leaders have stock interests in. Now remember, you can't get a armored Humvee or a vest, a good jacket to prevent injury. So what I'm saying here is that there is no fiscal conservatism, and the Republicans do not vote or are not in favor of a strong national defense because they're paying the private contractors to do that. They're just a few Army, National Guard, several other branches doing the dirty work. I don't know how you people, I'm ashamed of you. I mean, there are slow people. They're just slow. Oh, my stars. Just looking at the timing. I don't want to run over for Bobby that are ready. He'll start in about 10 minutes or so. By the way, California prisons are now preparing for, wait for it, gay weddings. Remember, this is part of a story we did a while back, how the fundamentalists were all upset because now we would have special rights. You see, now we would have special rights because the straight men in prison, well, they couldn't marry other women in prison. But because the gay men would be in prison, they could marry each other, so we would have special rights, as if they were concerned about prisons. Well, now that same-sex couples can get married in California, these state prison officials are trying to figure out what that means for gay inmates. At this point in time, no prisoners have sought to arrange weddings with same-sex partners since the
state Supreme Court granted same-sex couples the right to wed as of mid-June, according to Ms. Kane, who is a spokeswoman for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Nonetheless, the department lawyers for the California prison system, the department lawyers are drafting guidelines to bring the state's 33 adult prisons into compliance with the court's ruling that same-sex couples must be treated the same as opposite-sex couples under California's Constitution. Now, this actually turns out to be much simpler than you expect, and something that the fundies railing about is really not going to come about. What they've determined so far is that that would mean allowing gay inmates to marry someone on the outside, but not a fellow prisoner. Now, you see, the same rules apply to straight inmates. Doesn't sound all that weird to me. It sounds like applying it equally. It says they will have the same marriage rights as other inmates. They will be able to marry non-inmates, but are barred from marrying other inmates in prison. Why do you say, why? How can this be so? Well, you're really not supposed to be. If you're in prison and you've been convicted of a crime, and if you're in prison, it was probably fairly serious, even if it was only financial. It's probably fairly sturdy. But in any case, you're really not supposed to consort with. And in fact, let me put it like this. If you're out on probation, you are not supposed to have it in your group of friends. If you're seen consorting with other criminals who have, you can violate your probation. So it's a, they're not letting them marry other inmates, not because the other inmates are men, but because you're really not supposed to, like, get in bed, so to speak, with the other bad guys, you know. It's supposed to rehabilitate in there, damn it. So anyway, they are not going to be able to marry inmates, just like the heterosexual inmates cannot marry female inmates, even if they're in another prison. Who knows how, but how they meet, who knows how these things work. So prison officials were concerned that allowing two men or two women in the same prison to get married would pose safety and security concerns. For instance, suppose a prisoner finds out that another prisoner has money or assets, they might try to find, they might, you know, to coerce them into a marriage with a more powerful inmate who might then try to lay claim to their assets. Yes, this sort of thing takes all place all the time in jails and prisons. Hell, they'll steal your cookies and crackers, you know, if they can find you away from them for a moment. If your cell door is unlocked, you'll walk back in and find out that all the goodies that you bought from the canteen are gone. So it is well within normal tolerance for a prisoner to befriend another to find out all about them and how they can use them. This is not to say that all LGBT or all prisoners are bad, but many of them are very, very bad. They're very, very bad. You should wait till you get out and marry someone nice. Make your mama proud. Anyway, department lawyers are also recommending that prison chaplains relinquish the job of performing weddings for inmates once the policies take effect and turn the wedding rituals over to outside officials, which would not put chaplains who may oppose same-sex marriage on religious grounds in the position of presiding over some ceremonies and not others, which I can understand that. California, let's keep it between the lines, folks. Let's keep it between the lines. Yeah, so it's in the process of being approved by the division that oversees all the adult prisoners. And the rule that prohibits two inmates from marrying would mirror the prison policy in Massachusetts, the only other U.S. state, God bless them, everyone, where same-sex marriage is legal and where they have made it legal for folks who do not live in Massachusetts to get married there. Let's see where we're at. Last year, California, by the way, became the first state to allow conjugal visits and overnight stays for inmates with same-sex partners. Ooh, that would kick off the fundies. But, of course, these same-sex partners had to be from the civilian population, not another inmate. From what I hear, enough sex goes on in prisons without any matrimony to get married.
The department doesn't have an accurate count of how many of the 125,000 adults get married each year. Anecdotally, it's an average of two weddings each month that take place at the medium security prison, et cetera, et cetera. That closes with the law requires that we treat people the same, and that's a good principle to have in mind. By the way, remember when the straight firefighters in San Diego were required to participate in the 2007 San Diego Pride Parade? Well, they're soon going to be able to argue their sexual harassment case in front of a judge. You see, the San Diego Fire Rescue Department saying that, well, the heterosexual firefighters said that during the parade, bystanders taunted them with sexually explicit comments and teased them for participating in the event. I was forced in a situation that would compromise what I hold true and what I believe in. You know, the way it worked was the firefighters who were in question here, who were bringing this up, are right from a station right in the middle of Hillcrest, which is a very, very gay area of San Diego. They've seen it all. They've heard it all. And the general feeling is that these firefighters are after money, pure and simple, and they don't like the lesbian fire chief, and they want to embarrass her, and that it's pretty much common knowledge that there's money behind the lawsuit, not actual horrification that they were, my God, your hot comments were tossed at them during the parade. And it's also under observation from... during the parade, none of them looked especially offended or pissed off, except especially, you see, it's an overwhelming reaction to their presence. There's always applause and cheering, you know. In any case, this all came about because another fire department had to cancel at the last minute where they all volunteered. And I don't see the note there, but I remember seeing it today. They had to cancel being involved with the parade at the last minute. So another station was ordered to go. They didn't volunteer to go, and I get all that. So now they're going to make it so that everybody volunteers. But it's pretty much about money is what the deal is. Let's see if I have a short one to slip in here. We're going to have our gay bar across the street start in about 2 minutes. Oh, yeah, I want to tell you about a new lesbian cruise. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, all you lesbians, grab your chainsaw cozies and head on out to the 2009 San Francisco-based company called Sweet. It's a newly formed outfit. It's chartered a Norwegian cruise line ship, Norwegian Spirit, for its first voyage scheduled in 09. It is a seven-night trip dubbed the Sweet Caribbean Cruise. All lesbians. I hear about the all-gay ones, but I haven't heard about any. I'm a lesbian. Well, it's going to start New Orleans on November 8th, 2009. It's going to include... a whole bunch of countries, long list of countries. Jamaica is not one of them, thank goodness, because they pretty much kill you for being gay down there. Sweet is also selling a two-day pre-departure New Orleans package that includes city tours and volunteerism, blah, 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 blah. Pretty cool, huh? Way to go, you pesky lesbians. Oh, my stars. In any case, it's getting very close to the time. We need to head over to the Paradise Dance Hall, the gay bar across the street. We have tonight none other than Mr. Bobby Vittoretti is our DJ at the gay bar across the street. And Bobby Vittoretti, the mix you're about to hear was done at Dreamland, which is a San Francisco huge club. It was done in 1983. It's recorded live at a night at Dreamland in 83. And to find out more about Bobby Vittoretti, you can go to BobbyVittoretti.com. And that's Bobby, V-I-T-E-R-I-T-T-I, BobbyVittoretti.com to find out more about Bobby. So as we grab our umbrellas and our pocketbooks and our credit cards, we'll head right over to the Paradise Dance Hall.
Across the alley was the Paradise Dance Hall. Evenings in spring, they'd open all the doors and windows and the music would come outside. Sometimes they'd turn out all the lights except for a large glass sphere that hung from the ceiling. It would turn slowly about and filter the dusk with delicate rainbow colors.
There you have it. None other than Mr. Bobby Vinaretti, who's played in the Northeast and the Southeast and the Southwest and the Northeast with a wonderful set from Dreamland in 1983 from San Francisco. A little hand jive mixed in there with, oh man, a great set. I haven't heard some of those tracks in ages. I wonder what the fun think we play in gay clubs anyway. They probably think we play satanic music. If you play it backwards, it's just, give me your children. We want your children. I don't know. I get so tired of them. I do be tired of them. Really, really, really. Let's see. Yeah, let's see what's coming up. I'm sure I have something coming up. Here we go. Yes, Next Tuesday, day after tomorrow, we will have Mr. Barry Gold. And he's a great singer-songwriter. I'm sure you will enjoy that. Barry will be with us starting at 9 p.m., and we'll listen to some of his music and talk to him about what made Barry Gold Barry Gold. Need to let you know also that, in fact, there will be a brand-new horn section coming up in just a couple of minutes at the top of the hour on the Head On Radio Network. It'll be myself and Mr. Bob Kincaid in West Virginia and Mr. John Fox down there in Australia. We'll be doing that just shortly, and it's good to be back. It is good to be back. I enjoyed being with you this evening. I hope you enjoyed it, too. And so wrapping it up for a Tuesday evening, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too.